The Lord be with you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall not happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Technical issues. So there's going to be all this guff going on behind me while I preach to you. So please pay no attention to it. And then we'll all beat up John afterwards, okay? So, this morning, can you imagine? One moment, Jesus is saying, "You're the rock on which I'll build my church." And the next, he's calling you a stumbling block. That's not just a great wordplay this morning, but going from cornerstone to stumbling block is a horrible thing. But it's also such a massive reversal in relational fortune. Because of that, it had to be so incredibly painful for Peter. Can you imagine? And perhaps that's the difficulty. Peter could not imagine. He could not imagine that Jesus had come not to just comfort people, but to free them. In Peter's mind, comforting isn't hard. Just give them a little more of what they already had and tell them that they'll be all right. But freedom this morning is different. Freedom requires that they see that what they have isn't life-giving in the first place. The common assumption is that when Peter declared that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, he had in mind some sort of warrior king like David or Saul even. One who would drive out the Romans and liberate the Israelites. When you stop and think about that, it's pretty understandable. And it's even a reasonable hope that Peter had. The Romans were foreign occupiers. They not only imposed their law, but they taxed the people to support their occupation. It was order and taxation by violence. The problem with Peter's expectation is that it's not unreasonable. The issue with Peter's expectation is that it doesn't change anything. Rome was there by force. Rome was there by violence. If Jesus, the warrior king, used force and greater violence to drive them out, to drive the Romans out, that means even more force and even more willing to do greater violence takes over yet again. And who's in charge may change, but the ancient wheel of force and violence keeps revolving. And Jesus knows this. He knows that by introducing a different logic, a godly logic, that runs by forgiveness, that runs by mercy, that runs by love, rather than retribution, violence and hate, he is changing the powers that be. And yet Jesus knows that the wheel of force and violence will not tolerate his obstruction, and that wheel will finally run him over. And this, Peter just could not imagine. It isn't surprising when you stop and think about it this morning that Jesus was murdered. It's not a surprising thought now that we know. From the moment of his birth, he was such a threat to the rulers of force and violence, so much so that Herod was willing to slaughter all the children under the age of 2 in the hope of destroying Jesus. It was no surprise that Jesus was murdered. What's surprising is that God raised Jesus from the dead. Resurrection reinforces, indeed, it actually establishes that Jesus' life, that Jesus' love and his sacrifice are ultimately what prevails. It's hard to imagine in light of how prevalent for the forces of violence how prevalent the forces of violence seem in our world today. John and I were just talking about it before the service. It's not hard to imagine. But it's just what Jesus invites us to do. We are called to live our lives shaped by love, shaped by forgiveness, shaped by actions that are shaped by compassion and hope. It's all so very hard to imagine that. Like Peter, what we most often want is a little bit more of what the world already offers. Whether that is force, whether that is security, or wealth, or status, or popularity, or whatever the world already offers, we just want a little bit more of that. But Jesus didn't come to comfort us with just a little bit more. Instead, he comes to free us. First, that means realizing that we've settled for something that is not life-giving this morning. And secondly, true godly freedom means we can hear and we are open to God's promises. Promises that don't just offer more of the same, but offer something different, something life-giving this morning. Now, I don't need to tell you that the world is a disappointing place, or that at times you and I have settled for less than God's hopes and less than God's plans. The evidence is all around us, in our disappointing relationships, in illnesses, in careers that end, in untimely deaths and in mourning. This disappointment looms all around us. And it's not my job to tell you all what's wrong this morning. My job is to ask you the question. And the question is this morning, are you ready for something different? Are you ready for something more? Are you ready to imagine and reimagine the life that Jesus promises? Because imagining or reimagining the life Jesus promises is the hard part this morning. Because giving someone another chance instead of writing them off, because forgiving someone who has wronged us instead of seeking retribution, because being open-handed and open-minded and generous with the resources we have been blessed with instead of holding on to whatever we can, because offering our future to God rather than planning each step of our life ourselves, because seeking joy in service rather than in acquisition, well, that's hard. That's hard. And it's hard because we've accepted that what the world has offered, and we believe that that is all there is. What the world is offering, we believe that's all there is sometimes. Because these different things often feel at first like death. So you mean I have to give someone another chance instead of writing them off? You mean I have to forgive someone who has wronged me instead of seeking retribution? You mean I have to be open-handed and open-minded and generous with my resources instead of holding it onto it whenever and wherever I can? All these things and many other things often feel at first like death, even like dying on a cross, before God uses us and raises us up to new life. It's all an act of our imagination, my friends, reimagining what God can do for us. But as we take even these small steps forward, God is working, giving us a taste of life that we never thought possible, and multiplying the impact of our actions far beyond what we've dreamed. Until suddenly, just as it felt like we were losing our lives, we find them. So, can you imagine? Maybe that's the question we should ask ourselves this week as individuals and as a church. Can you imagine that God is at work in and through our life for the good of the world? Can you imagine that this congregation, even in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis, has something of value to offer its community? Can you imagine that when you befriend the lonely, when you encourage the frightened, heaven rejoices? Can you imagine that even small acts of love and generosity challenge this world's order and introduce a different reality? Can you imagine that God wants us not comfortable, but free? God wants us free this morning. Can you imagine that love is more powerful than hate? Can you imagine that God raised Jesus from the dead? My challenge and my prayer for you all this week is that you sanctify your imaginations so that you may see and you may taste and you may believe the life-giving promises of the Messiah. A Messiah who came not to give us what we want, but to give us what we need. So, unlike Peter, who didn't understand the question is, can you imagine? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.